Welcome to another Carlin and Lloyd Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.
Now, Sean, it's July, Wimbledon.
Is it? Is that finished? So. Is it on?
I think it's finished, mate.
Oh, wow. I missed it.
Yeah, well, you didn't miss much. Although an Australian made it to the final, the men's final, and the men won the men's doubles. And also Australian mixed doubles lost the final. So, yeah, the Australians were up there.
Well, this is going to be rude, I guess, but I'm not really a tennis fan, to be honest.
What?
I'm not really a tennis fan, Rob. Like, I just don't follow the tennis. It just doesn't interest me.
Why is that?
To be honest, I just don't find it that exciting.
You know, it depends on what type of tennis they play. I mean, nowadays, you watch the women's tennis and the men's tennis, and they play almost two different types of game. And I get some enjoyment out of them both. But with the men's tennis, sometimes when you get a dominant player, it is boring.
Yeah, and I just think it's just full of prima donnas. Like, everything I read and see about tennis now is someone spinning the dummy, smashing their racket. I mean, it just goes on and on. And of course.
Yeah.
I know. I'm being facetious. Yeah. I know he was the one in the final against Djokovic, but it just doesn't, like, all that sort of stuff. I'm just tired of, I guess, drama, generally speaking. And tennis just seems to be full of drama in terms of players and what they get up with.
Well, beg my pardon. I remember an Aussie girl called Ash Barty. Now,
well, she was a breath of fresh air, wasn't she? Now, she's retired. Now, again, I love Ash Barty because of who she is as a person, not because she's a tennis player.
You're joking. I thought you liked her because she was a tennis player.
No.
She plays other sports.
I know. She's a very good sports person.
She played cricket.
Yes, and football. And golf.
Yeah.
So she's one of those. Imagine, you know, there's those annoying people out there who are just good at everything.
Like you.
No, I'm terrible at most sports. That's the fact. I'm terrible at most sports. I was good at one.
Now, hang about. You were a good footballer. You were a good basketballer.
I'm a terrible basketballer. I was an average football player. I was one of those footy players that, you know, people liked because I was tall and athletic. And so I think I had probably great potential in football, but I thought I was a pretty average football player.
You know, to be honest with you, I'm 6 foot, and that's not short by any means, but guys like you, 6 foot four, is it?
6'5", 6'6". Come on, don't under. Come on. I'm not.
Oh, that's right. You've lost a bit over the years, but
off the top. I've lost a bit off top.
But the point is, when you play against people like yourself on the basketball and football, you just imagine that you're a good player because you've got that height advantage.
Yeah, well, sometimes it's an advantage, isn't it? But no, I'm terrible basketball. That was my children, not me.
But I've seen you play basketball.
Badly.
Now, getting back to tennis, I mean, it was unusual the way Nick Kyrgios made the final because he basically won his semi-final on forfeit.
Yeah, well, again, I'd been out camping, out four-wheel driving, so to be honest, I did miss it all, but I've sort of – it's hard to keep away from it, isn't it? But Nadal obviously was injured and had to pull out, so – but obviously, Kyrgios had played well
up to then
to make it to the final, and so he maybe was in a position where he could have knocked off Nadal because he has been struggling a bit with injury, hasn't he? So Nadal probably would have been favourite, I imagine.
Yeah, well, you know, when you look at Nick's career, he's only ever made the quarterfinal of any Grand Slam twice. He made the Wimbledon quarterfinal in 2014, and he's, you know, but this is his first ever Grand Slam final. And, you know, it was his first semi-final, but he won that on a walkover. But, you know, watching the two guys come out on the court, and straight away I thought, Novak Djokovic, the trouble he had in Australia with the when the pandemic was on, you know. I mean, and these two guys, two of the most controversial figures here in Australia over the last couple of years, and they're playing each other in the Wimbledon final.
Yeah, for different reasons, controversy. But, of course, Djokovic was not allowed to compete in the Australian Open, and that caused all sorts of things. And the media just loved that, didn't they? So, and that's part of the reason, again, why a lot of stuff I just have lost a lot of interest in, to be honest, Rob, because it's just everything gets repeated all the time, isn't it? It's not about the tennis. It's not about what the skills of the player. It's now about all the controversy, isn't it? And I know Kyrgios creates enough of that himself. Every time he seems to step on the court, he's doing something that is going to attract attention, but probably in your mind and my mind, the wrong type of attention. But I just saw the other day, is he not the epitome now of current society?
Yeah.
I mean, you look around, doesn't matter what you put on the TV, whether it's or what you see on the media, it's all about drama. You know, like social media has its drama, like most of our TV shows are about drama. And so gone are the days, are they, when and think about it, like if you're a tennis player, I mean, they make a squillion dollars, right? And they are – it's an individual type sport. I know there's doubles and so on, but reality is it's an individual type sport where – being self-centered, being selfish, being those, all those type of things is going to actually benefit you rather than hinder you, because you don't need to be a team player, do you?
No. You know, just when you look at Wimbledon in the men's final, I mean, we had 4 years in a row, we had an Aussie in the final when, you know, obviously Leighton Hewitt won in 2002 when he beat David Nalbandian. But Mark Philippoussis was the last one. He lost to Roger Federer in 2003. And in 2000 and 2001, Patrick Rafter, perfect gentleman, he lost in 2001. And before that, 1987, when Pat Cash beat Ivan Lendl. So we haven't had an Australian man in the Wimbledon final since 2003.
And that sort of surprises me, because I guess I do connect Wimbledon and Australia with, you know, like we've had a lot of success there, and I guess maybe more recently with Ash Barty, isn't it? But of course, our time, I mean, our growing up in the sort of, you know, 80s, 90s, Australians really dominated Wimbledon.
Well, you know, you talk about Ash Barty. She won last year, 2021. Did you know when the last time was an Aussie woman won the Wimbledon final?
No.
It was 1980. When Yvonne Goolagong-Cawley beat Chris Evert. And, you know, she was a previous winner, female winner before that in 1971. And in 3 years in between, 72, 75, 76, she lost Wimbledon final. And when she won in 71, she beat Margaret Court, who used to be Margaret Smith, who'd won a few titles. So, you know, obviously, and we had successful men back then as well. So, you know, through the 60s, early 70s, the Aussies were right up there. But since then, it's scarce.
When did it become professional?
About 1968, 69, around that time.
Yeah. And tennis, I mean, again, I'm no expert on tennis, but it seems to me it's a pretty tough sport to make it to the very top.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people play tennis. And then you see some of these rankings. I mean, if we saw a person ranked in the top, say, 300 or 400 in the world and watched them play, we would be amazed at their ability. But so there's this real difference, isn't it? It's a bit like golf. There's this real difference between they're a great tennis player to, wow, they are the best tennis player. There's that real difference between and it's, again, really, if you're not – would it be fair to say if you're not sort of in your – if you're not in your mid-teens and you're not playing on the international tournament stage, you're probably never going to make it as a tennis player. Would that be fair?
Yeah, it would be. I mean, you look at a lot of the both men and women that become Wimbledon champions, they've won junior Wimbledon titles previously. So they've actually gone through the ranks as 10-year-olds, 11-year-olds, 12-year-olds, and they've come up and they're 15, 16, and they win those sort of junior tournaments at the high level, and that's a springboard for success.
And we've seen a lot over the years, haven't we, of different the way that the young players are treated by their, say, family or coaches, et cetera, they're really pushed to the limit. And we've seen these dysfunctional relationships, haven't we, with especially, it seems, with dads and players. But you think maybe that's why tennis players – and it does seem, you know, there's a lot of – am I wrong in thinking – I mean, you just see a lot of bratty-type behaviour.
Yeah, but like you said before, it is a little bit of a reflection on society, because it seems that those types of attitudes are proliferating right through this generation.
Yeah, and it is. And then we're, again, two old blokes having a chat, so which no one's really going to care about. But even I read an article about the Williams who she didn't go to the centenary celebration because here's another perk. She was – her and her entourage were given 5 Jaguar cars to drive around while she was in the tournament. She got knocked out early. The rule apparently has always been – you get these cars free to drive around and do what you want with, but you must return them 24 hours after your last game. And she got knocked out early and wanted to keep the cars, and they said no, other players needed to have them. So, but then you go, hang on a minute, they're getting Jaguars to drive around in. It's just like these, you know, it's a different world, isn't it? One that we're not just understanding or used to. But and the other thing is, like, with the media these days, and I don't class us as media, but I guess it's some form, they just jump on everything, don't they?
Yeah.
And, again, Kyrgios is obviously a very good tennis player. And to be fair, he doesn't – like, there hasn't been much stuff about his tennis this week, has there? It's been everything else. But that's the reality. Like, that's what sells papers, so to speak. That's what gets the clicks. That's what gets people, you know, logging on. And you're like, well, you got two things going on. You got media who just jump on everything that's negative all of the time and sell, sell, sell. But then if you're the player who keeps doing that sort of stuff, you've got this really hate-hate relationship, haven't you? They're going to feed off you. You're going to get upset and keep doing stuff, and they're just going to keep feeding off you.
You know, and I reckon sometimes they do it deliberately, the players, because they're getting the attention and they crave it.
Yeah, maybe. Like I said, it's a lot of attention, but I guess in our more conservative world and our conservative values, from at least us two and others, I know a lot of other Australians who think it's the wrong type of attention because Again, I imagine Kyrgios does have a strong following of younger people who look at his stuff and go, yeah, stick it up him. You know what I mean? And there is this, like, there's a lot of stuff changing in society, and Wimbledon still is this really traditional, historic type tournament. And even, you know, with the stuff like you've got to wear all white.
Well, you know, you look at traditions, sporting traditions, and you know, what's the most important cricket game? Well, obviously, it's England versus Australia at Lord's, you know, or the MCG in Australia. Baseball, so it's the World Series in America, you know, and all these particular sports have the holy grail of their sports. And in tennis, it's
Wimbledon. I'm saying that as an Australian, and I imagine us part of the Commonwealth, but do you think the Americans would think that? Do you think the Americans would go, Wimbledon is number one, or do you think they would think differently? Is it just because we're Australian and we have that connection England or Great Britain?
Look, I the Americans think they're best at everything, so they would probably think that the American Open was more important. But for the traditionalists, yeah, it would have to be
from a traditional point of view, you think. But all traditions are under attack now, aren't they?
Yeah.
And so you've got this just a different group of people coming through, and I guess as society changes, it's not unusual that, you know, over decades and time we have these changes where people, there's different groups with different sets of values. And I think Kyrgios to me is just, again, as I said earlier, he just epitomizes younger people of today. They're brought up a different way than you and I were brought up, and that's just reality. And we, again, that's why I mean at some level I just don't care, you know, like, get on with it and do your stuff. But to me, it's just to the point where I'm just not interested anymore. It's not about liking or disliking. It's just I'm just not interested.
Well, you know, highlighting your point, I was reading this article online about Nick, and it basically was saying he said that none of the top tennis players in the past or current have supported him and given them well wishes, except for Leighton Hewitt. And I'm thinking he may have said something like that, but I reckon he was taken out of context. I reckon he was asked a particular question about something and gave a particular answer, and that journalist has sort of blown it out of proportion. What's the context? I think often when journalism sort of highlights negativity, it can be taken out of context.
Well, and as you know, I mean, you being a journalist and in a different time, you had to write a story and you had to get your facts and make your contacts and speak to people. But what I see now, like I love Daniel Ricciardo in Formula One. He's having a rough time. Now, on my Google feed, all I get now, because I clicked on a few stories, is the same story rehashed over and over and over again by people that you've never even heard of, but they just grab, say, your story and go, oh, I'll just change the title and make it something that people will click on. And you're just reading the same thing from an interview 2 weeks ago that now hundreds of people have decided to write a story on. And you go, like, it's just that's the reality. Back in the day, I guess you had your main news feed, but now there are so many ways that you can put information out there.
Look, just to finish off with one of the things to support what you're saying is the amount of people that come up to me and tell me this is a fact, blah, 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 and I say, well, where'd you get that from? Oh, I read it on a legitimate Facebook site, and I'm thinking there's no such thing. But that's, you know, that's highlighting that point. But at the end of the day, the fact of the matter is you watch the Wimbledon final, you are seeing two of the best players in the world. And if you just sit back, maybe turn off the media, just watch the game for the game's sake, it's still pretty
good. You reckon mute it?
Yeah.
And just watch.
I reckon sometimes. It depends what they're talking about.
Well, there's two grumpy old men having a conversation.
Well, on that note, goodbye for now.
Goodbye for now.
On the Carlin Lay Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.